I'd just like to read to you a verse about community, about this oneness that we've begun to explore. At City Bible Church, if you're a visitor here today, just to let you know what we're about at the moment is that we're in the middle of a year focused on God's love. And we've been considering His great love for us and the response we would have to love Him. Really, in a sense, the two greatest, principles of life, realities of life, is that God loves you. And the one who made you and loves you, his purpose in that is that you would know His love and that you would love Him. But then just a few weeks ago, we're moving on to the next phase of that, which is what that love that He has loved us with would look like as we would love each other within this family we call church, within this community. And so our focus has been thinking about love one another, but really looking at the idea that the one is not just one-to-one, like say maybe me to Mark, but there's the firstly we need to understand that this one idea is that we are one, that we've been invited into this family and we become one with each other. In fact, we've been looking at that not only was that God's design and His plan like in Genesis, but also when Jesus was here, it was His prayer. He prays on the night before He is crucified. He prays to His Father that those who would believe in the future, us, would be one, even as He and the Father are one. And so we're looking at this idea of love one another, being community. But today we take a slight turn and we've been thinking like in big sort of cosmic level sort of oneness, and want to think about what that looks like for the individual and for the family. And in some ways today is really, as we've looked at different ideas the last 2 weeks around this oneness of community, is to look at this picture, I guess, of family. Because as I've, and I'll introduce you soon to Mark and Anna, but as I've met with them this week and we've talked, it's become really apparent that that even in both of their stories, which are quite unique and different from each other, that family is really important, which I thought was great because this is actually about family. This is about us being one in a family. And so I just want to read these words for you from Ephesians. I was looking at that sort of Acts 2, Acts 4, which was in your newsletter this week, and at those descriptions of the early church, and even that, especially that meeting together, sharing with each other, mealing together, it sounds a lot like family. And then I was reading these words in Ephesians 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. A lot of that language is similar to what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, but I love that description of God, that title of God that He gives Himself, Father of all. If you think about that, when God takes this name, Father, it straight away says to us, there's a family here. He's talking about family here. This oneness is a family because there's a father. And I don't know what your experience is of being a father or having a father, because there's some good experiences and there's some bad experiences. But when we come to this idea in the Bible about father, it is all good. It's about one that can be trusted and who's faithful and consistent, who's a source of life, one who's close, one who's ever present. And so I want to encourage you today, just as we sit here, and I'm just going to pray in a moment, that we would allow the Father of all, who is in all, we'd allow Him to love us today, as we would listen to the stories of those who have known and experienced His love in their lives. And in that realm, which we're calling community, which you could also call family. So let's just pray. Father God of all, who is in all, thank You that we can come by Your Spirit and call You Father, dear Father, Daddy, dear Dad. Thank You that right now, though we might not even know it, that You are close and You are present. And I pray that today as we listen to the stories of Anna and of Mark, that we would also hear your words and your heart and love for us, and that we might know we are loved today. Thank you for this day. Just speak to us now through the testimony of these people. Amen. So this is my friend Mark. This is Anna. I just want to clarify something. Some people got confused. The email came out this week saying we're going to be interviewing Anna and Mark. So that's Anna Gibson. That's Mark Gibson over there. Hey, Mark. That's not Anna and Mark. It's Anna and Mark. Okay, this is Mark Grimmer. Okay, so just to clarify, and even the Mark G, it's not, so they're different families. Got that? Cool. But one family. Thank you for clarifying that, one family. Man, I'm going to have to be on my toes today. Okay, here we go. So we, as a way of introducing yourselves a little bit, and I'm sure that that's going to unfold a lot, but both of you are parts of families who are in this one family. You've both been here for a while, and we've asked to interview today because we know that that's important to you, and that that's been a journey, and we're looking forward to hearing you share about that. But let's go way back, dial the clock way back, to your first experience and introduction to this thing we call Christian community, or the family of God. Like, how did that begin for you, and what were the early years about of that? Like, we're talking like early years. So, Mark, you got the mic, you start.
I was born into a Christian family. Parents were regular church goers, and their parents were Christians, and so were their grandparents. So it was quite a, like, I was in it from quite an early age. And that kind of doesn't really register or mean anything until later on in life when you understand things a lot better, which for me takes a while. But the whole time, both sides of my family, so my mum and my dad's family, my mother being a shepherd, which probably counts for most of New Zealand's population, and father's side being a grimmer, which is almost as big, but they don't meet up quite as much. But the shepherd side was always, both sides, very Christian-based, and the shepherd side was so big, we have reunions every year, and that kind of theme, there's always, I think it's the last Sunday, you always used to have a big church service together. You could turn up every year and see someone new. It was actually your cousin that you'd never known about. So, massive family. But wasn't till we get later on in life where I attended like a life group or youth group, which I'd done throughout the years. But until I hit my sort of 19, 20, I got more involved in one. Which is where my faith kind of gave a bit more meaning. Yeah. So that's more where it started to click for me.
Yeah, cool. So. What about for you, Anna? Where did it all begin?
Okay, so my story starts similar too. I was born down in Dunedin, and at the time my mum was training for ministry, so I was along there in the lectures with her, like as a baby. Born into a Christian family, same as Mark, with Christian grandparents and stuff too. So we moved around the country with mum's job in ministry, and I found for me that I belonged to my family. My family belonged in different church communities, and because of that, I found my belonging in the church community. We moved around. Cool thing about being in a church family is that when your grandparents are in Auckland or in Dunedin and you're somewhere in the middle of the country, you've still got older people there in that community doing that grandparent kind of thing. So that's pretty cool.
Cool. Now, I know for both of you that you've got quite an international piece to your to your story. We'll start with you, Anna. So at one point you end up in the UK, and I think it sounds like some significant things happened for you there. But just describe to us, like, for you leaving New Zealand, where you were, like, in family and a family of families, like in the church, and then suddenly you're in a foreign land. Like, what was that experience like, and how did you connect with church community there?
Okay, so grew up in my family. I'm going to go back a little bit and then forward. Yep. So from the Waikato, where I was at secondary school, I went back to Dunedin to university down there. And so the easy thing for me to do, because I like family and I like church, was to go to my dad's family church. So back to Opoho Church I go, where my grandparents are. I have some aunts there. Mum and Dad were married in the church. I was christened there. So there's connection and there's people and there's family. And that's easy for me. It's a safe place to be and secure. So then finished my studies. During most of my 20s, I came and went from different parts of New Zealand, studying, travelling, bit of stuff overseas, coming and going from Mum and Dad's home. So when I'm at home and near where Mum's doing ministry, I'll be there helping out. But other patches, not so much involved with church community. So then Mum's in Cambridge, England, doing a sabbatical. So it just worked out nicely that I thought, yep, time to go to the UK and have a look around. So off I go to Cambridge, where Mum and Dad are at the time when I arrive. So I hung out there for about a year doing some teaching stuff and loosely connected with some church stuff, but not really close. Then I, through New Zealand friends, another guy called Mark and Sharon, who I went to church with here in Te Awamutu when I was young, in school with them, ended up down in London and meeting other Mark over there.
There's a lot of Marks in this.
There are too many Marks. So end up in London. So the two Marks and Sharon go to this church, so I just go along. They're like my family away from home, so off I go to church in London with them. Don't think about it, really, just go along. And that was pretty cool, and like Campbell said, I guess a bit life-changing for me, because during that time there, Mark was already involved in the kids' ministry, so I'm a teacher, I rock along there, and, you know, welcomed in really easily to the kids' ministry team. And that was a cool place to be, to just watch how patient and kind and loving Mark was with the kids. And the end of the story is that we did get engaged and married and now have our own kids to look after.
Yeah. And because, I mean, family's really obviously important to you, so Mark was like on a test kind of thing, eh? Like,
exactly.
You watch him do kids ministry and he passed the test. Yeah, it's a good idea. So we actually need some more young men in our kids ministry, so if you're looking to be on display, that would be great. Just go to Connect Desk afterwards, put your name down. And then we'll let the ladies know if the men end up taking that up and we can have, like, observation sessions or something. I don't know, that was just a new idea. I thought that could work. Anyway, so, Anna, you're there, you've got friends there, you're in the church, you're even serving in the church, but we were talking the other day that didn't necessarily mean for you that was a place where you found it easy to really connect to wider community in the church.
No, well, you know, typically you think of going to church as going along on a Sunday morning, right? So lots of you here Sunday morning doing church, but that's not a great way to get to actually really know people. So the cool thing being in the kids ministry team was getting to build some personal relationships. I love people. I love watching people grow and develop. So it was a great place to just be encouraged in my own faith and to be able to encourage other people too. So kids, obviously, but the leaders too, to be supportive of them.
Yeah. But you were saying, like, one of the dynamics of the large city was that when you tried to connect with a life group, for example, it was quite hard because of the whole distance thing, and yet you're able to find that through serving, which was really cool. Hey, what about for you, Mark? I know that when you sort of started hanging out with us here a little bit at CBC, and I think there was some legit reasons of relatives here, but there were some other bonus reasons where you had your eye on somebody here at one point. But And then you took off, like we sort of were just getting to know you, and then you were gone and you went to Japan, or to the States and Japan. So that was a real international experience for you, and also an experience of community. Like, just describe to us what it was like for you connecting with Christian community in Japan.
So for me, yeah, it was a bit different because I got called to be a missionary in Japan when I was doing kind of an OE. And so, yeah, I was with another church but attending CBC at the time, just in support of my cousin. And, yeah, so I was at that time in training to go to Japan as a missionary. So getting to Japan, obviously the language barrier's huge. And I'm just some random Kiwi bloke that can't really speak Japanese much at all. Trying to get into the community there, I mean, there's always the American missionaries I was always working with. There was already established groups, mainly like a youth group in the church, which they more just do Bible study, and we would meet every Friday especially. There was, because they're all uni students, we would be meeting in the back of a specialist coffee shop that we ran as an outreach. And so the mainly the guys for us, because they were split, guys and girls, we would have Bible studies with individuals or whoever could make it in between their studies and working in Japan. If you know anything about Japanese culture, school doesn't finish at 3. You go to your sport thing and then you go to night school and then you go to work. So they don't get home till like 1, 2 in the morning. So it was kind of messy, but always on a Friday was meeting up together with all of the girls and boys, and would always share a meal at the back there. And so for me, coming in as a foreigner was pretty easy because Japanese people like anyone that looks different, and especially when you're about as much taller than everyone else. It was pretty easy. Everyone thinks you're pretty cool, but being a fellow Christian, it was real. Everyone had, you know, like a love and a love for Christ, and so it was quite easy to integrate, easy to, you're kind of already part of the family, and so they would interact with you straight away. So
yeah, because it's interesting, because when you're describing like how you just felt like belonging, acceptance straight away, it's almost like contradictory to who you are, as like you say, so tall, you know, so different, no language, you rock on in, and then something just bonds you there, which is awesome. Yeah. So you made a special friendship like through the coffee outreach and Bible study and the Friday nights. So talk to us about this friendship that you built.
Yeah, so there was all these guys that had been doing Bible study with the missionary I was there to help, and who was the kind of missionary who'd just stand on the corners of the street, quite literally, and preach, which would draw these guys in. And one of the guys there had been coming for quite a long time and hadn't made a step to accepting Christ at the time. And I'm definitely not like the other missionary where I can stand and preach on a corner. I hate limelight, and I'm more the type of person that comes alongside and likes to journey with people. Mm. And there was, I was made aware of him by the other missionary, and that he was struggling with life, really. And so I got alongside him. We would do Bible studies, and during that time, he ended up becoming a Christian while I was there. But we had such a good connection, and most of you would know, that's Takashi Ueno, who serves in our cafe here. Yeah. So There was the it was like a almost like a well, I guess they kind of call it a kindred spirit or brotherhood kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing when you think of your whole journey to Japan and your experience in that community, but also there was that one-on-one with Takashi that you've had the blessing, the benefit of seeing the fruit of, you know, of him coming to faith and then him coming to New Zealand, and it's like he's part of our family here now, which is pretty crazy. And so those that don't know him, he's our barista here at the cafe, and it's been amazing to watch him, even his career path, just really grow and develop as well, so... That's been cool. So that's sort of a little bit of your background, and then here you find both of you are here in Hamilton, and you're now busy with your two little girls, and you're busy with family as well, but also a motorbike mechanic over at Morrinsville. And so, but I want to talk to you about this family here now, sort of from here on in, and think about the CBC family. Talk to me about how, for each of you, you initially got connected here and what that experience was like for you becoming connected to the community at CBC.
Okay, so Mark and I moved back to New Zealand in the later half of 2011, and I was reasonably pregnant at that time. And it took us a while to like just check out churches around town, and I was just reflecting on it. Actually, we ended up going, some of the places were, like, because Mark had lived in Hamilton before, I hadn't, so one of the places we went was back to Hamilton South Baptist, where I had been involved before, but really this was our first opportunity as a family together to choose a church. So it took us a while. Amy was born at Christmas time in 2011, and it was not actually till May in 2012 that we came here, and I remember it well. It was a Mother's Day service. So we came in through the cafe and they were serving delicious treats, and I love food, so I'm like, cool, we're off to a great start. I'll go back a step. The person that suggested that we should come along here was actually my sister, who at the time was working for Grant Edwards. So she probably knew a bit about where we'd been, what had looked good, what we hadn't liked so much, and thought this might be the place for us. So good choice. Thanks, Megan. So here we find ourselves on Mother's Day. We got in through the cafe with some, you know, treats along the way. And then the service, well, it was nothing like I'd ever kind of attended in a church before. But thinking about family, you know, Mother's Day, that's a pretty family-oriented day, especially it was my first Mother's Day too. So there wasn't much of a message. I stood down the back there about where Michelle's sitting, and chatted with girls. I talked to Dee and Hannah, I think, probably Sarah J, Carolyn, Elise, and just had a chance to like get to know, find something out about these people. Because if I'd come on a normal day, whatever that is, I probably would have come in, sat down with my family and left, and quite likely not talked to anyone at all. So I'm like, this is cool. There are families here. These girls have babies, kids similar age to Amy. I can kind of see us fitting in here. We have got some things in common. Some of those people have done some teacher training like me. And then here, sitting here 5 years later, I know we've got heaps more in common. Our love for Jesus, our love for our families. What else did I tell you on Friday?
Yep.
I think we love people, and lots of us love food too.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. Mark, for you, you've mentioned briefly, but you actually were introduced to us through Direct Family. So talk to us about that and what your experience was like coming in.
Sarah Sinclair now, used to be Sarah Shepherd back then. I came along just to support her. And just a difficult time of life for her, really. Always been had a sense of, you know, you need to take care of family. Being that they're younger than me, and all my other cousins were pretty much married or whatnot, did the kind of older cousin brother thing. So at that time we were meeting in Aberdeen. And then, so on from there, met Francis and Dylan Siminoff through them, which are good family friends of the Shepherds, which, like every Shepherd family, you pretty much, once you hang around with us enough, you get adopted in, and other than changing your surname, you're no real difference from anyone else. So people like the Seminoffs were key to that, and sort of then getting a bit more involved in the church, choosing to actually stay with CBC as we moved, and getting involved in things like street works and things which I was passionate about, reaching out as well, I was building up to going to Japan. And then actually to give you a bit of history of that, before I, so it was about 6 years of training before I went to Japan, and I was still working as a mechanic, car mechanic at the time, and my intended time actually got cut short for some reason that neither me or the two mission boards I was working with could understand, and it's because I met my now wife 3 or 4 months just before having to head off to Japan. So coming back, there was kind of no other place to go, really. I was definitely going to come here. And in that time, there were key people in the church which have since moved on, whether like Steve and Beth Crow were one of them. People that were really supportive and encouraging, I think, in both our faith and just our daily walk and unity as a church. So that's what kind of kept me coming and being involved in things like Streetworks, which is where I met heaps of people from church working together, which you develop the relationships with them. So that's what kind of got me fully established here, I guess.
Yeah, cool. Good work, Sakon. For you, Mark, like now in CBC, and you've been here for quite a long time now, it sort of just feels like you guys are part of the family. What is it that makes this family for you? Why is it that you're here? I mean, I know why you came, but why are you still here today?
I just, thinking about it during the week, it's probably more, you know, the value, core values of this church, just being authentic and spirit-filled, spirit-led, wanting to reach out to people is definitely what I value and what I want and to encourage as well.
That's good. One of the things that you've talked about is family, and I know when you and I were talking the other day is that it's even like you talk about the Shepherd Clan gatherings, and it's like there's this once you're a family, you're family, like you stick at that. It seems to be a high value for you as well. I know for you and Sakun and the kids, but also for you guys here. I think one of the things I see in you is there's this it's this loyalty, not in the sense of going I said it so I'll do it, but it seems to come from within, you know, just an expression of who you are. It's just like, hey, this is where I belong, so this is where I am, and this is where I'll, you know, both receive and give out, which is really cool. Anna, for you, why are you here?
Okay, so as you know, I've told you, my family grew, you know, I grew up with my family in churches, and that's actually the same for my husband, Mark, sitting over there, that he's from a Christian family and he grew up with his family in a church. So why are we here? Because we want our two girls, Amy and Lily, to experience some of that. So kind of the end of my previous answer, just checking my notes, was that, you know, I found these people that I have some common values with and beliefs, and when we came here, we've found a place we belong, a place we can feel loved and grow in our love and knowledge of God, and also hopefully share that too and encourage others.
Cool. With family, like even with your own family, I mean, you probably both got perfect families, but like in normal families, there are challenges that you face. What are some of the challenges that you face in being part of this family? Or even getting connected to this family?
And getting connected to the family, I think, especially for me, is real difficult. Being more introverted, I don't... Walking up to someone random and just talking to them is not something I particularly like, but I kind of force myself to do, which even looking out there now, at least had some interaction with most of you. If I haven't, then you're on the hit list kind of thing. But, it is difficult to get in, but I think getting involved in the different things that the church was with definitely helped encourage that kind of thing. There's people you're going to click with, and there's people you don't have as much in common with, but still, you know, we're a family, and every bit of the body is needed, you know. So,
I'm just going to jump ahead, like for you, a couple of questions. Like we talked the other day about you sometimes can get a bit frustrated with the community, and it's around something that's really important to you, which is about that openness with each other, which is what you talk about. You've got people on your hit list kind of thing. It's like you describe yourself as an introvert who has to step outside their comfort zone to meet somebody, but you're also not into just surface stuff. Like you think, oh, if I go and talk to that guy who I haven't yet met, I'm going to have to dedicate some time to that because you actually want to get to know them, you know? Talk to us a bit about that, like what...
The frustrating. It was same with Japan and that, and I guess that's where I don't... Just to have an acquaintance is kind of not enough for me. I actually enjoy the richness that people's character and the unique way we've made, how it enriches and changes my life. And at this point in time, it's quite difficult with juggling that with family. So I usually try to establish relationships and make them stronger, but it's frustrating in the fact that I can't meet the new people as much because you either got to get the kids out of somewhere or you're trying to find out where they're murdering each other. But it's for that is kind of frustrating for me.
So, Sophie, I mean, obviously you can't build deep with everybody, but you've got this heart that's towards that. So you've done something pretty cool over the last couple of years around making good connection and around growing those relationships to do with your bikes, because that's one of your passions. Talk to us about how that began and maybe what that looks like for you.
Yeah, so kind of actually started with surfing probably when I got back from Japan. Most of the surfing cousins and that all came here, and that built a quite a quick community. But since then, everyone's moved away, and motorcycling is one of those great kind of leveling areas where it doesn't matter how good you are or whether you've been riding scooters most of the time and just got onto something that can go over the 50k.
So there is a difference. So you're saying it's leveling once you get out of a scooter?
Yeah, scooters. Okay. Scooters.
I just wanted to clarify, because I was thinking I could go and buy a scooter and I'd be in, but not quite.
You get left behind. Out of town riding.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, it's...
So how did it begin? How did that begin for you, like the sense of building community around that?
Just finding key people that are kind of interested in me. Marcus and I hang out probably a weekly basis just about, but there's nothing you kind of have to live up to as a motorcyclist, and you different to driving cars in that there's motorcycle events all over the place, and you can drive up to a cafe in the middle of nowhere and there'll be people with motorbikes there, and there's a weird thing where you can just go and talk to them and not know them, have a mean conversation, and then jump on your bikes and gap it, you know, never see them again, which is a very, like a real handy tool, which is why there's so many ministries built around it. But I think it's been really good here at CBC how we've got these new guys coming through. We've got Liam and Tails on a bike now, which is good, and just building that relationship with them, which normally wouldn't have the connection there with people like that.
So when you're with these guys, are you just talking like bike talk?
Always bike talk.
Yeah. So where else does it go, you know?
Well, because there's a lot of them that don't actually come to church here, but are in different churches. But I think just with guys, the icebreaker to actually get talking deeper or talking about God is like 10 times thicker than women's, I guess. So to have something like that to kind of break the ice, and then it's just the time spending with guys. And then we went on a big trip earlier this year with a handful of guys that most of them didn't even know each other. We even had Takashi on the back of one of the bikes, and just how that built a bigger group of people. And it's just spending that time. And I mean, there's already guys are keen to, you know, chuck your Bible in your bag, jump on your bike, we'll just gap it somewhere, pray or just read the word and just talk to each other in a way that's you wouldn't do if you just rock around at someone's house. You know?
Yeah, that's cool. Anna, for you, it really surprised me the other day when you described what you found hard, sometimes even now, connecting into community like on a Sunday, which does speak of your heart for family. But talk to us about that. What it's like for you sometimes, even connecting into here, physically into the space.
Okay, I'll go back to, I'm going to do that 1 second, I think. So the first thing is, when I came here, there was, and there still is, a cool group on a Tuesday of mums who meet with babies, toddlers, preschoolers. So back then, I think most of the time it met in people's homes. And for me, I had to get over this really big insecurity about how can I go along to a group like this that meet in someone's home if it's not going to work, or in my head it's not going to work for me to invite people to our home. So we were living in a little rental place in Hamilton East. It wasn't great for hosting people. I had all the excuses. I had just one little baby. We didn't have that many toys. There wasn't much for bigger kids to do. So I was like, it's hard. I had to have, like Stacey, I don't know where she got the saying from, but I've heard it this week, 10 seconds of insane courage to just go along. And I went to Carolyn's the first time, and the girls were cool. Just there was no turning back, really. It was just that first time getting up enough courage to get out the door. And also when you've got a new baby, it's kind of like you can think of all these things that could go wrong. So what am I going to do if this happens or if that happens? And the more experience you have, the easier that stuff gets too. As for the Sunday thing, because I've just been working out this week, family and church are so important to me, and they're kind of inseparable. I have this real big struggle on a Sunday when I find Mark's not with us, and I might have one of the girls or both of the girls, but I drop them upstairs at the kids' program, and just, I can get into the cafe space, fine, that's all right, but getting through those black doors is really, I find it really hard if I'm by myself.
Yeah, which is amazing, because sort of if you know Anna, you'd go like, it's Anna, like you're this confident person who can, you know, just take a conversation any time. But for you, there's something significant goes on there about the space. And we're talking the other day that for you, church family has been something you've always done as family. and that's a real high value for you, but also something that you're just discovering is maybe why that's really sensitive for you. Talk to me about your experience that when you do these courage steps, how does it go? Does it all still fall apart, or does it go all right, or what?
I don't know if I've got the exact answer to that, but I'll give it a go. So, because I've been trying to unpack. So, you know, I love coming to church. I like the worship. I like the music. I really prefer sitting down there and listening to people talk, not being talking. But so, you know, I've grown up in church. I'm just so comfortable with it. But I think the fear, if I'm honest, is that if someone up here says something that really touches me, I'm okay sitting next to my husband and having a little cry. Like, he can ask me later, what was that about? And we can have a talk. But there's something that feels awkward about, and we've got so many friends here. I know I belong here. You know, I've got some really good friends and know heaps of people, but it would just be awkward sitting and being moved to tears.
You've come in and sat without Mark and been moved to tears, and that's been okay?
Yeah, it's actually...
Why has that been okay? Like,
There's been a couple occasions when I can remember sitting with Sarah Jane having a cry about something, and with Hannah, and something else is going on and it upsets me. That's how we learn, though, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I think in that moment, that's when this... You know, because you're talking about like unpacking these things, but it's like looking back, you go, you are family, you know. So you've got this, your immediate family, but then it's through those moments that you're discovering, you know, just how special that wider family is. One of the things I think's awesome is that you were fearful to even go to Tuesday Mum's group, and then you took the courage and you went, and now you're pretty involved with that. Like, talk to us about that and how that's an expression of you, I guess, giving to community.
Yeah, okay, so just over the last year or two, it's become kind of my job, and I'm trying to get out of it, so if there's any volunteers that want to replace me, let me know. So I've been organising what we do on the Tuesdays. We do different stuff. We do go to people's homes. We meet out at parks and playgrounds if the weather's good. We come to cafes. And I guess part of my reason for organising it a bit like that is I feel like I really struggled with that, going along to someone's home for the first time. And so if it's meeting in a cafe or meeting at a park, maybe that's less threatening for some people. Whereas I know there's people out there that would much rather rock up to a new person's home for the first time than be meeting somewhere public. So I try and keep the options open and, make it work like that.
Yeah, cool. Can you share with us just like your pearls of wisdom? We're going to sort of jump on a bit here, but if somebody's sitting here and it could be the same feelings that you've had or different ones, but for them they're just going, man, I'm finding it hard to connect with people. I'm finding it hard to, you know, to volunteer for that or attend that group or even to walk in the door. Like, what would be some things that you might suggest for them that help them take steps towards connecting to community?
Okay, so last week I had my trusty this black book out and I wrote down a few things. So the first one was, think about what your gifts and passions are. So, you know, Mark's talked about his motorbikes and stuff like that. You know, what do you really love doing? And pray about that too. And I kind of think that's a great place to start. Once you've got that figured out, then my recommendation is find someone else that shares those passions or gifts and see if you can, with them, get connected to one of the smaller groups that are part of the church. Because I think, from my experience, it's easier to go along with a friend or with your family than be on your own. So that was my ideas that I wrote down in my little black book. And then probably the next morning or 2 days later, I was reading the word for today. And so just to help you remember, it talked very similar thing, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, it confirms it. So the words that they used were be passionate, be proactive, and be persistent. So I think the persistent thing is, if the first thing you try doesn't really work out, don't give up. Just, you know, go back to the drawing board and find somewhere else that you do fit and feel you belong, feel loved, and a little bit challenged too.
Yeah, cool. What about for you, Mark? What's your wise words for getting connected?
Get a bike. No.
Yeah. I'm starting a scooter club for those.
The scooter club can go with you, pal. I think. It was difficult for me, but yeah, just taking the courage to actually talk to someone you don't know. Hopefully, you know, even us as a body will be looking out for you if you're a little bit isolated, don't look like you're talking to anyone. But the other thing is, like, I had to get involved in different things, street works or whatever there might be, helping out with anything. I think that helps with getting integrated, but nothing really much different to what Anna said.
Cool. One of the things that I really admire about both of you and your families is that in some ways, Anna of you and Mark, and it's the same for you, Mark and Sukun, it's like when I hear the two of you describe how you feel, and I know, you know, in the interaction I've had with your partners, it's like the whole thing of stepping out is not easy. Like, it's not as if it's just like you're just the party social buffs, you know. It's like it's been really hard sometimes for you, and yet I'm just amazed that. But you've gone, this is really important. I've chosen this. This is who I am. And the way that you've stepped out into that, so that we look back now in 5-6 years and just go, man, you guys are like core families in the family. You open your homes weekly, you know, to life groups to come and be in your homes, and you open your lives, and your kids are part of that too. And I just think it's amazing to think that for both of you, you were in the place of being the timid, fearful to reach out, you know, where do I fit category. And yet I look at who you are today, and we're, it's even when I was talking with you guys, I was like surprised to hear their story, you know, because for you guys that know them, you just go, really? Like, you feel like that? And like, and we don't know that, but I think that speaks to what you have chosen to love, but also, you know, that you've received back from that, which is cool. Hey, we're gonna jump right on to the end, and just it was really cool this morning as we met. You were sharing about what God's laid on your heart this week. And then also early in the week, we talked about, you know, what would you say to this community if you could give your wise words? And so you might want to give us a blend of that. But I know for each of you, there's been something that's touched your heart about this process of thinking about community. But you also might have some words for us. So just share those.
I think for me, my greatest desire here, I guess, is just that as a body, everyone, especially what we've been working through this year at church, realising how important each individual here is crucial to making up this, what CBC is, this body. So kind of even going back to the last question kind of thing, you need to really understand your value, and that you're needed here, and we need you. My desire for CBC is that, you know, there wouldn't be any gaps between any of the seats. And it wouldn't matter where anyone sat, you know, even families could be apart or whatever, whoever you're sitting next to would be, you know, you knew them well enough that you could just sit down and, hey man, how's it going, and carry on your conversation from your last thing. So we actually probably like a tight-knit family,
Cool. It was real funny when we were talking about that the other day. Like, you almost, like, you could picture what it was like, hey, because you described it as if, like, the first people would we don't have to do this, but this is Mark's dream, so, you know, feel free to fulfill it. But was your thought was like people just come on in and they go and sit, and whoever's next just goes and sits to the next because that's family, and you just sit and sit, and that it's actually the back few rows that are completely empty because we just are full from the front because there's no gaps. But I, you know, and so physically we could do that. But I was thinking, man, isn't that a great picture? Like no gaps, because if there's a gap, I can move aside to that gap, to that person, because we are family. We do sit beside each other, you know, and not just in the physical sense. I love that picture. Anna, for you, you might want to describe what you long for us, but I know that you've also got something that's really on your heart today for us as well. So just you go either way with that or how you want.
Okay, so this was a hard question for me because I don't really consider myself to be a big picture dreaming type of person. So I found an answer in the Bible, which I think is pretty cool. I think I'll share that at the end, though. And then, you know, God's pretty special. He surprised me this morning with a picture. So it goes a bit like this. God loves me. And Campbell was drawing circles last week. Lots of circles, if you were here, connected in different ways. But I'm going to say I'm from a girl family, not a boy family. So I have two younger sisters, and now I have two daughters. So we're all about girls. And if you know girls learning to draw and stuff, what do you think of if you think of love and girls drawing? Hearts, right? My little sister used to call them perfects. So God's perfect love, he loves me. Then I was thinking, okay, so what's the biggest thing I can think of? The universe? I don't know. Something huge. Try drawing a heart around that. That's how much God, how much love God has. That's hard to understand for me. But God has just got so, so, so much love. And he fills me up with his love. But I can't contain all of that love God has to give to me, so what do? I need to share it with my family. God's got more love than that. So he fills up me and Mark and Amy and Lily. We can't contain it all. Why would God do that? Because he wants us to share it with our community. And so God's filling our hearts up. We can't contain all of his amazing, huge love more than we can imagine. But the reason he's doing it is so that we can share that love with others.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So the other part of my vision, dream, God's dream, comes from Colossians 2:2. It says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. So Colossians 2:2.
Yeah, thanks so much. That's cool. Thank you too for opening your hearts to us, and thank you for being in this family and for being family with us. So, yeah, we do really appreciate that. Let's just pray. And Father, thank you for Mark. Thank you for Anna. Thank you that they've come to know your love and that they love you and that they're allowing your love to just overflow into their own families and into this family here. Thank you for the journey you have them on and for the significant, in a way, contribution they are to us here in this family, in this community, but also thank you for who they are amongst us. I pray for them and their families this week. That just like Anna was describing, that this will be a week where they sense your love to the point of overflow. That you would just fill them up and then empower them and guide them to love others. Lord, I think of us as a family here, and I think of the desires they've just shared, and I would ask, Father, that we would be a church with no gaps, a family with no gaps, a community here with nobody with an empty seat beside them. We long for that, Lord. Thank you too, Lord, for this beautiful picture of the heart. Would you fill each one of us so much that we cannot contain it so that we might love our family? Would you fill our families with so much love that we cannot contain it and we would love this community? Would you fill this community with so much of your love that we cannot contain it and we would love this world. We long to see these things happen. And thank you that we belong, for you've loved us. Thank you that we belong because your Son Jesus gave his life for us. Thank you that we belong because your Spirit now lives within us. Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you that you love us.